The reading today is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 31. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Good morning. My name is Jerome, and it is a real privilege to be here to share with you from God's Word today. Let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Our Father, what a privilege it is to call you Father. Thank you for showing yourself to us through your Holy Scriptures. And we confess that in our own strength and wisdom, we do not understand your Word. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to shine light in our hearts. Make your words come alive to us this morning. As we look at this sensitive topic of anxiety, come near to us with your comforting presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Harriet made her living as a religious teacher and a traditional healer in the country of Chad in Central West Africa. Harriet's beliefs were a mixture of Islam and folk religion. And she would consult these evil spirits that would come to her to give her details about her clients. And then when the clients would come, she would mix up a potion or a herbal remedy to give them to help cure them of their illness or their problems. Now, one day, Harriet met some Christian missionaries, and she encountered the love of Jesus in these missionaries as they helped her. They helped Harriet buy medicine for her and her family when she was sick. And in another time of need, the missionaries gave her food and water. A local Chadian missionary couple began to pray with her. And as they continued to support and engage with Harriet, she saw the love of Jesus in them and she decided that she wanted to follow Jesus as well. Now, almost at once, the evil spirits stopped coming to Harriet. But there was this one evil spirit that kept coming to harass Harriet, and it stirred up these great feelings of anxiety. Over time, Harriet started to get more and more worried about what might happen to her once her community found out that she had become a follower of Jesus. They could do lots of different things to her. They might tie her up and try and cast out the evil spirit that had caused her to follow Jesus. They might beat her. They might even stone her to death. They could even remove her children. Harriet grew more and more anxious about her own safety and about the safety of her children. Would she be able to get enough food to survive? How would she be able to cope with the resentment that she would feel from her family and her community? The what ifs and the questions screamed louder, and Harriet grew so anxious at times she couldn't speak. Now, Harriet's situation is like many Christians around the world today. The daily struggle of our persecuted brothers and sisters to find food, employment, and safety is a source of great fear and anxiety. Now, while we here in Burwood, we do not fear for our lives as Christians, we are living in a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel. While once Australian society upheld the biblical views on issues like marriage, family, sexuality, abortion, and other things, now anyone who shares these views in the public square can be cancelled. And we call this cancel culture. Christian schools are in jeopardy because they teach that a biological boy is a boy and a biological girl is a girl. CEOs of sporting companies and businesses can be fired because they are associated with churches that teach about things like the traditional biblical view of homosexuality. And with these headlines in our faces, we can be anxious about how we will be perceived as Christians by our fellow workers, our students, colleagues, and unbelieving family and friends. Now, add that to all the other daily pressures that we see in our world, things like a global pandemic that we've just been through, the rising cost of living, job insecurity, economic instability, overseas war, natural disasters, and suddenly we have a perfect storm. We live in a world that is becoming more and more anxious, and statistics agree. In 2022, anxiety was the most common mental health concern reported by Australians, about 16% in total. And that number is even higher in the 16 to 24-year-old age group. In the midst of an anxious world, where do we find peace? Well, this week we are continuing our series in what the Bible has to say about our feelings. 2 weeks ago, Ed looked at sadness, and this week we're going to continue by looking at anxiety. Now, before we continue, I do want to make one important disclaimer. As we touched on before, we are living in an increasingly anxious world. But I do want to make a distinction between the feeling of anxiety and the clinical disorder of anxiety. There is a difference, and it's unhelpful to say to someone with clinical anxiety, "Do not be anxious, just pray about it." In no way does the Bible say that you are less of a Christian or that you are sinning because you struggle with anxiety. This message this morning is not going to be a three simple steps to curing anxiety, but rather it is meant to be an encouragement for us that in the midst of an anxious world, our Heavenly Father cares for us. So in our passage this morning from Matthew 10, 24 to 31, we encounter Jesus as he is about to send out his disciples into ministry for the first time. Now, fear and anxiety could overwhelm them and prevent them from doing what Jesus commands, proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. They may forget that God is bigger than their anxieties and that he cares for them, and their fear may tempt them to cave in to the pressure and deny Christ. Now, the same is true for us today. Increasing opposition to the Christian faith, an unstable world, and an uncertain future can cloud our view. Fear overwhelms us, and we forget that God cares for us as his children. So our text today is going to show us three things that gives us assurance of God's care for us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 10, 24 to 31, and we're going to start with our first point, starting in verse 24. In the midst of an anxious world, where do we find peace? First, it's standing with Jesus. So we pick up Jesus' words in verse 24 and 25. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So Jesus is about to send out his 12 disciples into ministry among the towns and villages of Israel. And before they go, he gives them their missionary orientation, what they should expect in their ministry and how they're to go about it. In verses 16 to 23, Jesus has given them specific instructions about and details about the opposition they will encounter as they spread the gospel. You will be hated by everyone because of me, Jesus says in verse 22. However, this should come as no surprise, since Jesus was treated the same way himself. He faced opposition. As Jesus' students, the disciples can expect to be treated in the same way that their teacher was. Jesus was falsely called Beelzebul, which is another name for Satan, so his followers can expect the same kind of treatment and worse. Now, the threat of this kind of anxiety would be enough to make the disciples anxious. Yet Jesus' words of comfort come to them at the start of verse 26, where he says, "So do not be afraid of them." Why? Because Jesus stands with them. Teacher and student, master and disciple stand side by side. The disciples would not suffer this persecution alone. They would suffer beside the one who understands everything that they feel. Now, in my mid-teens, I became quite aware of my own anxious tendencies as I had to take my learner-driver test. Now, I am the eldest child in my family, and I was the first one to get my driver's license. I felt pretty unprepared for the pressure of being assessed in driving my little manual car through the busy streets of central Joondalup, north of Perth City, where I grew up. Now, the nerves got to me the first time, and I rolled through a stop sign and inevitably failed the test. Now, this first fail set off this string of anxiety leading up to the next test. I can remember feeling this increased sense of dread in the hours leading up to the test. My sleep was disturbed. My heart beat fast, my mouth was dry, my palms sweat. In the bush behind my house, I remember it got to a point where I went outside by myself and I screamed out through tears, "Anxiety, get out!" I was so, just wanted relief, pleading with God from this crippling sense of fear. The thing was, I knew what the Bible said about what to do with fear. Because the Bible says, do not fear and do not be anxious. Just pray about everything. And yet, I knew all those things in my head and I felt no better in my heart. Where was the peace that passes understanding? I felt so overwhelmed. Now, during this time, one of my best friends sent me a song called Jesus Will Meet You There. And it's by a singer called Stephen Curtis Chapman. There's a line in the song, in the chorus, that says, "He knows the way because he's already been where you're going." In the midst of this trial, those words brought me so much comfort. Jesus felt the pain of my anxiety. He knew what it was like to be overwhelmed and distressed, and he stood there beside me. So how do we stand with Jesus? Well, one way that I believe we practice this is through our relationships here as the body of Christ. And anxiety is overwhelming, and we need each other. As the family of God, we have the privilege of standing with each other and reminding each other that Jesus stands with us. We do this through song, as we sing, reminding each other of God's faithfulness. And I love the songs that we were singing this morning that affirmed those truths. We listen to each other, carrying each other's burdens and not just offering cheap one-liners. As we pray for each other during the week, we might be prompted to send someone a song or a Bible verse like my friend did. So we can have assurance that in the midst of fear, peace comes from standing with Jesus, the one who has felt the depth of our anxiety. In the midst of an anxious world, where do we find peace? Standing with Jesus and secure in our destiny. Now, Jesus has given his disciples assurance that even when they suffer for carrying out ministry in his name, they do not have to be afraid of man. He explains the why behind this. And read on with me as we go from verse 26 to 28. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus reminds his disciples that there will come a day of judgment when the things said by evil people in secret will be exposed in the light. With this assurance, the disciples can be bold as they go out to proclaim the gospel. While opposition to the gospel will come and the disciples may even be threatened with physical harm and death, they can take courage in their secure destiny. People can only harm their bodies after all. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples that there is one kind of fear that they should have, and it's a fear of God, who has the power to destroy their soul and their body in hell. In God's hands is the eternal destiny of every person. Jesus' words serve as a warning and as an encouragement. Do not let fear of man trip you up as you live for me, but be assured that the powerful God secures your eternal destiny. As Christians throughout history have been persecuted and martyred for their faith, one thing that continues to serve as a great witness to their persecutors is their peace. When facing the most atrocious forms of physical torture and death, these believers are often witnessed praying and singing. How can they do that? Because they're secure in their destiny. They know that being absent with the body means being present with the Lord. Now, you or I may never be threatened with physical harm or death for following Jesus here in Australia, but this makes our anxieties no less important. Health scares, changes in employment, housing shortages, and cancel culture are just a few things that can make us doubt our future. When fears overwhelm, what do you do to remind yourself of this truth that you are secure in your destiny, your future is safe? Well, for me, I am a journaler and I love to express my thoughts, feelings and reflections in words. Sometimes I'll put on some calming worship music that speaks about God's faithfulness, his love, that he's in control. And maybe for you, you like to paint or you like to go for a run or you like to read a book or maybe you even like to play an instrument. Now, these practices may not be the thing that take all the anxiety away, but they do provide a space where we can refocus our gaze. We can remind us that in the midst of anxiety, Jesus stands with us and we're secure in our destiny. In the midst of an anxious world, where do we find peace? By standing with Jesus, secure in our destiny, and sustained by the Father. So, against this backdrop of God, the powerful judge of all people, Jesus paints a contrasting picture. Now, while he is the one who has the power to determine our eternal destiny, he is also a loving father who cares for his children. Jesus illustrates this point by using two images, sparrows and hare. In verse 29, read with me, Jesus says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care." Now, sparrows are one of the smallest and most insignificant birds. They're worth almost nothing, and in Jesus' day, they could be bought for about one Roman coin, which is the smallest coin of any value in that currency. Now, a study from the University of New South Wales estimates that there are about 1.6 billion sparrows in the world. Counting the number of sparrows in the world is a complex task, the article said. Yeah, no lie. Yet God, our Father, knows them all, even when one of them falls to the ground and dies. Jesus then goes on to say in verse 30, "And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Google told me that the average adult has about 100,000 hairs on their head, and probably less depending on how bald you are. A single strand of hair is worth nothing. But the point is clear. If our Father is intimately aware of small things like sparrows dying and hairs on our head, then he will certainly sustain and care for us, his dearly loved children. From this place comes Jesus' third encouragement in verse 31. "So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." "Do not be afraid," Jesus says. As the disciples prepare themselves for ministry in a hostile world, they could have assurance that their heavenly Father would watch over and care for them. In the same way, life's fears press into us, and we often feel overwhelmed by them. When God doesn't answer our cries for peace and relief, when there are no easy answers for why we go through trials of stress and anxiety, our confidence comes from knowing that our very personal Father sustains, strengthens, and supports us. So one spiritual practice I implemented earlier this year when I was going through a patch of anxiety was I chose three Bible verses that specifically spoke to anxiety and fear, and I committed to memorizing them. And in the evening, before going to sleep, I would quietly say the three verses to myself. They weren't long, they were just short, and they spoke about peace and anxiety. And I would thank God for each of these promises as I drifted off to sleep. And this practice helped me to fix my thoughts on Jesus and his promises. So consider, how might you intentionally meditate on a specific promise of God's peace? Maybe you could write the verse on a palm card and put it up on your mirror so you can be reminded of it in the morning and in the evening. Or maybe a reminder on your phone is a better way for you. The verse doesn't have to be long, but as we chew on God's word, even one verse at a time, it sinks into our heart over time. This daily reminder grounds us in the reality that in an anxious world, peace comes as we stand with Jesus, secure in our destiny, sustained by the Father. Now, remember Harriet. I'm sure you want to know what happened to her, so let me finish the story for you. Harriet managed to keep her faith a secret for 2 months, but one day her eldest son found out about it, and as to be expected, the threats started almost immediately. Harriet was abducted and forced to pay back money that her family had given her because now that she was a follower of Jesus, She was no longer considered family anymore. Her children were almost taken away from her care, forcibly removed. Many people refused to trade with Harriet in the marketplace, and so it was a struggle for her to find food for her family. It's a costly path for Harriet to be a follower of Jesus. Now, to encourage her, one of the missionary families spends time reading the scriptures with Harriet. And when anxiety threatens to overwhelm her, she sings these songs that God gives her, reminding her of the truth of who Jesus is. There are no easy answers, but for Harriet, she knows that her father cares for her in the midst of her fear. Now, you might be listening this morning and you might be thinking, that's great, Jerome. I've been a believer for years and I don't sense God's peace. I struggle with anxiety. I'm not sure what the future holds. My encouragement to you this morning then is to come to Jesus. Not to beat anxiety once and for all and take home peace like some sort of trophy, but to feel God's love, to know that you're safe in your Father's hands. Now, perhaps you're here this morning and you've never heard about this Jesus, the one who gives peace in a chaotic world. Your heart is anxious, the world around you is anxious, and you're questioning, what is this life about? And where can I find peace in this life and for eternity? Well, Jesus is that peace. He came to this world to die and to rise again so that the greatest peace of all could be won, peace between sinful men and a holy God. When Jesus is given first place in our lives, his peace steadies us, and we can have hope in this anxious world and for eternity. So in the midst of an anxious world, where do we find peace? By standing with Jesus, secure in our destiny, sustained by the Father. Now, together, before our last song, we are going to take a minute to reflect on Jesus' words to us. If you've been encouraged, I would encourage you then to give thanks to God for that. If you feel the weight of life's worries pressing in on you, then allow Jesus to comfort you. Let's take a moment to linger in God's presence and allow his Spirit to minister to us, and then I'll pray. Our Father, who knows every tiny bird and every hair on our head, we come to you with our worries, our burdens, the things in life we can't control. Thank you for standing with us when we face opposition and uncertainty. Thank you for making our future secure. Thank you for being our help moment by moment. As we go out into this anxious world, remind us that you care for us and love us more than we will ever know. Amen.